Okay. What I think we'll do is we'll move on to committee reports. The first committee report is from the Audit Committee. And I think we'd schedule 10 minutes for this. Audit Committee, yeah.
Okay. Is this? Okay. I just wanted to make sure that LaVarne doesn't.
No, that's all right. We can do some of the committee reports. When she comes in, we'll do her report.
Okay. All righty. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Nia Badiaco, and I'll wait until you're settled, unless you want to come and help me to make the report. Okay. I'm from WBAI, and before I get into the meat of the report, I'd like to... I can't compete with that, George.
Yeah, please. Okay.
Okay. Before I get into the meat of the report, I'd like to acknowledge the other 14 members of the Audit Committee. From KPFK, Matthew Hallinan, Chandra Hauptman, and Joe Wanzala. From WBAI, Lisa Davis and Seth Goldberg. From KPFK, Dutch Merrick, Leslie Radford, and Donna Warren. From KPFT, Wesley Bethune, Bill Crozier, and Melinda Eiley Dong, and WPFW, Jane Gatewood, Campbell Johnson, and Nia Turner. At our last meeting, I was elected chair, and Campbell Johnson was elected secretary unanimously. Congratulations, Campbell. According to the California's Not-for-Profit Integrity Act of 2004, there are five duties of the Audit Committee, and I quote, Audit Committees 1 shall recommend to the Board of Directors the retention and termination of the independent auditor. 2 may negotiate the compensation of the auditor on behalf of the Board. 3 shall confer with the auditor to satisfy the committee members and the financial affairs of the charitable organization that financial efforts of the charitable organization, one second, I don't see that well, are in order, sorry. 4, shall review and determine whether to accept the audit. And 5, shall approve performance of any non-audit services to be provided by the auditing firm. As you recall, at our last meeting in D.C., I ended the committee report by saying, and I quote, finally, the audit committee functions best when it has productive relationships with management. Now that we have permanent leadership, I have all confidence that the, quote, tone at the top will be conducive to establishing and adhering policies resulting in accountability all around. After our first two meetings of 2010, I am pleased to report that I have confidence that we are on our way under our executive director's leadership. At our first meeting with our auditor present, committee members understanding their responsibility of ensuring that the foundation never gets another terrible report that says we are literally out of control, crafted the motion that passed unanimously. And by the way, board members, it's in your board book under committee reports. And I will read it. And the motion says, the audit committee will immediately review the auditor's 2009 management letter in relation to the Pacifica National Financial Policies and Procedures Manual adopted in 2007, that should be 2008, and then develop recommendations for remedial action. 2, the audit committee recommends that the Pacifica National Board, not the audit committee, adopt the following motion. The Pacifica National Board directs the executive director and chief financial officer to immediately begin working in conjunction with the audit committee on a plan based on the 2007 financial policies and procedures manual that will A, address the deficiencies identified in the management letter, and B, establish adequate internal controls for accurate financial reporting. The Pacifica National Board further directs the executive director and chief financial officer to provide written and oral progress reports for each Pacifica National Board teleconference and each in-person Pacifica National Board meeting until all these issues have been addressed. And again, that was passed unanimously. There are about 13 of the 15 members on the call. But to our chagrin, some directors voted to postpone the motion to this in-person meeting on the grounds that it was, quote, overreaching, unquote. This claim is absolutely not true based on the California Not-for-Profit Integrity Act of 2004, which I just read, which would be number three. The line between the responsibilities of the Finance Committee and the Audit Committee, I will define a little bit later on, based on that was prepared by the Nonprofit Risk Management Center. At our second meeting, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer Arlene Engelhardt and LeVarne Williams, respectively, were present and gave a very good report on how they are going to solve the problems cited in the 2009 management letter. Again, I commend them both and appreciate the sense of urgency they expressed in this particular matter. That said, the Audit Committee members and I urge you to vote for the motion I just read. It is not, quote, overreaching, unquote, but holds us as directors accountable for ensuring that management establishes effective processes for maintaining adequate internal controls and procedures for accurate financial reporting. There are some people who would like for me to explain what the difference between the Audit Committee is, and as I mentioned before, that the Not-for-Profit Risk Management Center has made it very easy for me to do this because they have laid it out for us. There are three categories. There are three categories, and what they've done, they've broken them down into the Audit Committee's responsibility, the shared responsibilities of audit and finance, and what the Finance Committee is solely responsible for. In terms of financial statements, this is what it says. The Audit Committee is authorized to consider matters related to the financial statements of the organization and other official financial information provided to the public. The shared responsibilities on financial statements are, and this is what they said, the Finance Committee ensures that budgets and financial statements are prepared. The Audit Committee has, I don't like this word, but this is what they have, provides oversight for ensuring that reports are received, monitored, and disseminated appropriately. And the Finance Committee solely is responsible for overseeing the preparation of the annual budget and financial statements. B, in terms of systems of internal controls, the Audit Committee is responsible for overseeing compliance of management with applicable policies and procedures and risk management. And they gave an example, which doesn't really pertain to us, but I read anyway, example for organizations that are part of a national network, I know we are, annual reviewing whether the organization meets the rechartering requirements of its national organization. The shared responsibility for internal controls, it says here, the Finance Committee monitors financial transactions. The Audit Committee makes sure things are done according to policy and with adequate control. Let me repeat that. The Audit Committee makes sure things are done according to policy and with adequate controls. The Finance Committee in that category shall oversee the administration, collection, and disbursement of the financial resources of the organization. And finally, in terms of the annual independent audit process, the Audit Committee is solely responsible for recommending engagements and receiving of all reports from the independent certified public accountants. The Audit Committee shall have such other authority and perform such other duties as may be delegated to it by the board. In terms of shared responsibilities, the Finance Committee provides guidance about what can be done. The Audit Committee ensures that independent oversight occurs. And the Finance Committee shall advise the board with respect to making significant financial decisions. Now, I understand that the motion, there are some concerns about the verbs, okay, the I was a lot of my education was under the Queen, so maybe my
Nia,
verbs.
Nia, before we start addressing the motion, you have to bring it back from the table.
Okay.
So you move to bring from the back from the table. Someone needs to second it, and we need to vote on it.
Okay,
so that's been done. Is there any objection to bringing this back from the table? Okay, hearing none, continue. The motion's on the floor.
Okay, thanks for your cooperation on that. Hopefully I get the same cooperation for passing the motion. So from what I understand, that there are some people who are concerned about some of the verbs that the committee came up with in this motion. I as you guys know, I vote for issues. I don't vote with people. And if there's something here that you think that you want to change, I am sure that the committee would not mind. I will try to exercise the soundest judgment possible. I have Leslie and Bill Crozier, and forgive me if I'm – where's Joe? And Joe, if there's something here that, you know, that you guys want to change, I am open to that. On the last teleconference call, if my memory serves me correctly, I think it was Tracy and Jennifer who made some amendments. I welcomed them. I said that they were fine. But I understand that there are people who still have problems with, like I said, the verbs. But like I said, the Queen educated me for quite a bit, so maybe my verbs aren't, I wasn't able to manage the committee to use the right verbs. I am open to whatever verbs you would like to, you'd like for us to use. Thank you for listening.
Alex?
Okay. Let me begin by citing the bylaws on the role of the Finance Committee and the Audit Committee. This is a quote. Let me find it.
I can find it for you. Would you like some help? I can find it.
I'll get it in a second.
I have it dog-eared.
Okay. The Finance Committee, which shall review and recommend the annual budget for board approval and shall monitor and report foundation financial activities at least quarterly, and shall include as members the chief financial officer, a director from each radio station area, and the treasurers of each LSB. The chair of the Finance Committee shall be a director who may be referred to as the board treasurer. However, the board treasurer shall not be an officer of the foundation. The foundation's chief financial officer shall be an employee of the foundation and shall not be the board treasurer. The board treasurer shall not represent him or herself to any party as an officer of the foundation, nor may he, she sign documents on behalf of the foundation requiring the signature of the chief financial officer, nor represent him, herself to have any authority to bring to the foundation, And here's what it says about the audit committee. An audit committee which shall oversee the annual audit of the foundation's books and shall not include finance committee members. That's it. And let me read you something else. This is from an article about the role of finance committees in a nonprofit setting. The finance committee is a standing committee, and I'll give you the URL for those who want a citation. The Finance Committee is a standing committee of the Board of Directors and is typically chaired by the Board Treasurer. The committee is responsible for reviewing and providing guidance for the organization's financial matters. Specifically, the committee assures internal controls, independent audit, and financial analysis for the organization. The Finance Committee reviews all financial statements and reports on financial activity to the full board. The full board may be better able to respond to aggregated information with important financial trends and issues highlighted in an accompanying narrative report, while each board member shall have the opportunity to review organization-wide income and expense reports to understand the impact on the organization. Members who are inexperienced at reading financial statements may get lost in overly detailed statements. To help the board fulfill its oversight function, it is important for the executive director and the finance committee to present the information in as clear and concise a manner as possible. Here are the finance committee's basic responsibilities. One, provide direction for the entire board for fiscal responsibility. Two, regularly review the organization's revenues and expenditures, balance sheet, investments, and other matters related to its continued solvency. Three, approve the annual budget and submit to the full board for approval. Four, ensure the maintenance of an appropriate capital structure. Five, oversee the maintenance of organization-wide assets, including prudent management of organizational investments. And then it goes on. Now, in this discussion, the Finance Committee actually has the functions not only of a Finance Committee but of an Audit Committee. In our situation, we have both the Finance Committee and an Audit Committee. And the way that the bylaws conceived of the division between the two, the Audit Committee reviews the previous fiscal year and prepares for the annual audit. The Finance Committee monitors the ongoing fiscal health of the station in the current fiscal year and going forward. So therefore, it falls primarily to the Finance Committee and to the full board to deal with the recommendations of an auditor as to the financial situation going forward. So that's one of my main objections to the proposal. Another objection I have is that it mandates reports by management to the audit committee instead of to the full board. So I would like to propose...
This is a point of order, George. This is a point... That it does not say that. Could you tell me, could you look in your book and read to me where it says that?
Your motion says that.
No. But I'd like for you to read to me, because since I don't see that, well, maybe I missed it.
I don't have the wording in front of me.
I'll take that as a point of information.
Yes. And,
yes,
go ahead. It is a point of information.
Okay. Well, yeah, so let me finish. Can I finish? Thank you.
Well, actually, a point of information supersedes. It's a privileged motion.
The part of the motion that refers to that is the last paragraph. The PNB further directs the executive director and CFO to provide written and oral progress reports for each PNB teleconference and each in-person PNB meeting until all these issues have been addressed. And then there was an amendment, I believe, at the last meeting to change the frequency.
My point of information was, where does it say, like Alex said, that the ED has to report to the audit committee?
The original motion did say that.
I don't rewrite things. This is the only motion that's in this book, and I did not change it. It's not immaterial. That's the point that he made. And I made sure that I shepherded the committee not to do that.
Motion at the PNB directs the executive director and CFO to immediately begin working in conjunction with the audit committee on a plan based on the 2007 financial policies.
Okay.
Now, I would like to finish speaking.
Okay. Tracy, go ahead.
Therefore, I would like to offer a substitute motion, and here it is. Point number one.
Can you email it, please?
I will. The Pacifica National Board welcomes and accepts the response of Pacifica Management to the auditor's recommendations coming out of the 2009 audit. Point number two. The Pacifica National Board calls on the executive director and the chief financial officer to provide written quarterly reports to the Pacifica National Board at their in-person meetings, informing the PNB of progress made in implementing the measures outlined in the response.
Is there a second for that?
Second.
Okay. Well, we're
past... I have
past,
another point of information, George.
Just a moment. We're past 10 minutes, and we clearly need more time for this. I'd entertain a motion to extend for another 10 minutes.
So moved.
Any objection? Hearing none. If you, Nia, what's your point of information?
Okay, my point of information, which Alex read here, where it says in the bylaws, an audit committee which shall oversee the annual audit of the foundation's books and shall not include finance committee members. I'd like to know, in that substitute, how do you address us as doing that?
I don't.
Why not?
It's the job of the National Board to monitor management's follow-through on their response to the auditor's report, and that's what my motion attempts to do.
Are we above the Integrity Act, the California Integrity Act?
Is there any discussion of the substitute motion? Campbell?
Yes. The first thing is this, that we should look at the practical reality that our auditor has brought back the same kind of report in its management letter last year, last time around, and nothing happened. And we had in place the same kinds of bylaws provisions as we have currently going forward. One thing I think that we need to be mindful of is that in regard to bylaws, bylaws do not supersede the law. And they are, you know, they do not supersede California law. They do not supersede federal Sarbanes-Oxley requirements. And these are very specific in regards to the roles of an audit committee and an audit committee of the board. Nobody is saying that the audit committee is assuming responsibilities equal to or above the board. The audit committee is an arm of the board. So this is something I think that we need to keep in mind. And particularly, you know, I'll say that if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but it's broke. And if you were in Washington, as you were, and you heard the expressions of our auditor in regard to the system that we have, it's horrible. And it's out of control. This is something that, along with maybe a few other things, will certainly, without a doubt, sink Pacifica. And we've got to maintain some kinds of controls. Wherever we are looking to any external body for any accommodation, for any financial support, grants, whatever, they are going to be looking at what our financial systems are. They're going to be asking us for our audit reports, and that's what they want to see. And if we cannot produce clean audits, audits that, that show that we are in control, then we're going to be in a very bad way on a continuing basis.
Bill.
I realize there's been distrust, you know, among different people on the board, but I just want to remind everybody, the audit committee is composed of people from all over. We agreed 100% unanimously on this. The wording basically came from our auditor. We asked our auditor, what do you recommend? And this is basically it. And the... this is not about one faction or another. It's about getting fulfilling our fiduciary responsibilities. If you'll recall at the D.C. meeting, he basically told us, you know, how we're out of control, and the buck stops with us, the national board. It's our responsibility to make sure that things happen. And so I'm speaking against the substitute motion because it only addresses part of this. It does deal with the reporting. That's very important. I mean, I don't care about the particular wording one way or the other, but the other part was to develop a plan for dealing with the deficiencies in the management letter. Now, Arlene and LaVarne have already come up with a good start on that, and they presented it to us, but it's going to have to be developed. And so basically we're just saying let's continue that process. And I'd like to hear from LaVarne and Arlene. I think they basically agreed with this, the motion of the committee, but I'd like to hear from them also.
Tracy, and you all are welcome to interject if you wish.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm Nia's recollection that I did, in fact, amend the wording on the original motion.
Did we pass the amendment, or was it tabled first?
We did pass the amendment, and then we tabled the motion.
Okay, so the motion in front of us should read, it had to do with frequency of...
We removed the teleconference. Jennifer's amendment was, I think, the final one that stuck, but it involved... quarterly written reports to the board, and it removed the teleconference requirement.
Okay, quarterly written reports to be presented at the in-person meetings.
That's correct.
Right.
Okay, so that's what we're actually talking about.
And I appreciated Nia's flexibility about that, and I want to put that out. I think that the intention of the substitute motion, and I could be wrong, is really in accordance with what people have been saying, that there's a gravity of problems here that, A, requires really not just a plan, but implementation by the staff now, and really involves supervision and oversight by the whole board, that we cannot duck out of this, dish it to a committee, and then the rest of us go hands off, because we have a fairly serious situation. So I think what the substitute amendment is trying to do is pull this out of a committee thing, which gets a little parochial, into right into the center of the whole board. I think that's the intention. And using that interpretation, I support it. I don't think it makes any sort of statement that the audit committee is not participating. The audit committee, A, is part of the board, and B, I think there's enough work here to go around. But I think it says this is not simply something we're going to shove off to a committee and the rest of the board is going to be hands-off on, but that we do need to pull this into a full board responsibility. And I think that's appropriate with what the auditor said. So unless someone has a really persuasive argument here, I'm inclined to support the substitute amendment.
Richard.
Call the question.
Unreadiness.
Is there a second to the motion to call the question?
Unreadiness.
Second. Okay. All those in favor, this requires two-thirds. All those in favor of calling the question, please put your hand up. All those opposed, please put your hand up.
Let's discuss it a little bit. Come on.
Okay. The motion fails. Sean is on the next.
The reason that I will support Alex's motion over the motion that comes out of the audit committee is that this board is responsible for curing the deficiencies and working with the ED and the CFO to cure those deficiencies that we have in our system. I also worry, and I worry about this in both motions, I'm worried about how we're overburdening our CFO with constant reporting. And in fact, I think in part that's redundant because she already, or the CFO already, is under the bylaws committed to giving us quarterly reports monthly when necessary. So I'm going to support Alex's motion because this board is responsible, not the audit committee, for curing the financial weaknesses in our system. Thank you.
Leslie.
Yes, I really appreciate hearing this discussion. A couple of things here. First of all, let's be aware that if we do not keep our CFO and our ED in touch with this committee, we will hear from them twice before the next audit. If there are failures in the system before that, we have no way of finding that out. We're talking about quarterly reports in June and in September. That strikes me as insufficient oversight and connection with their healing process of our financial controls, given 2 years of, frankly, damning audit reports. I think we have a responsibility to be much more in touch with the process than that. The concern about overburdening the CFO, unfortunately, the financial situation is such that in addition to her quarterly financial reports, we are going to need regular reports on the process around remediating our procedures. Those are two separate things. That's going to have to happen, frankly, in addition to her regular reporting of financials. Otherwise, we are not doing our due diligence. I would like to take the opportunity that the audit committee has offered to provide a somewhat closer watch on the progress of this so that we can all be assured that in September, when the auditor comes through again, everything is fine, and not find that out on September 30th when we get the financial report and on October 1st when the auditor walks in the door. That's my concern. I think we should take the audit committee up on its offer. There is nothing. In fact, the audit committee motion includes the motion that the PNB be kept in the loop in June and in September. Okay, that's there. We're asking for a little bit closer contact, a little bit more awareness that if there are problems, that there is something that needs to come to the attention of this board, we can bring it to the attention of this board in a timely manner. For instance, staffing problems, technology problems, things that they may need our resources to help with, and get things together by September 30th. That's our deadline.
We're actually out of time on this. I have three more people on the stack, Alex, Nia, and Summer.
I move we let those three speak and call the question. Motion to extend to the three speakers.
It's different.
10 minutes.
It's different. I hear a motion to extend for 10 minutes. Actually, first I heard a motion to extend for just the three speakers. Let me say this about the stack and where we're at this point. Robert's Rules doesn't recognize a stack. There's no stack in Robert's Rules. The difficulty with completing the stack is if people want to make a motion after the time is up, we're sort of in limbo. We have a standing rule that we have to either take a vote at the end of the 10 minutes. And it really isn't appropriate to make any further motions. So if we're going to extend this, if we're going to extend the courtesy to just the people on the stack, they're not entitled to make any motions. They can comment on what's in front of us, but they can't make any motions. Is that clear? Right. Is there anybody else that wants to speak that isn't of those three? Okay, four.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I have a point of information.
Yes.
Or points of information. Part of this process that if we might have a question during
the point of information is always in order.
Okay.
And it's a privilege motion. So since there is somebody else, I'd suggest we extend for 10 minutes. Any objection to extending for 10 minutes? Okay. So we have.
And
Arlene.
Joe.
I thought I wanted to hear from Arlene and Levine.
That's up to them. Alex.
Okay, just to clarify, there's nothing in the substitute motion I propose that prevents either the Finance Committee or the Audit Committee from following up with questions as to the progress of management's compliance with the auditor's recommendations. In fact, I would certainly expect that to happen. I know it's going to happen on the Finance Committee because there's no way in hell we'll be able to prepare a budget unless we know certain changes are in place. I mean, it's simply the way it is. The only thing my motion seeks to standardize is the official formal written reports. And I think it's quite reasonable to expect quarterly reports from management. And as far as more detailed follow through, that could be done on the committees. There's nothing preventing the audit committee from further pursuing this. So I don't think it's just a non-issue as far as I can see.
Nia.
I would like to hear from Arlene, but I just want to say this up front, that Tony Pohl specifically told us what we needed to do, that we needed to report. And it's just, you know, I said, are we above the Integrity Act? And I heard one board member say yes. I mean, is this what we have gone to? I mean, I'm asking a simple question, and that are we taking this seriously? So I'm just putting folks on notice. I also would like to get a roll call vote, but I'd like to hear from Arlene what she feels about
again,
the motion.
Again, it's their choice as to whether they wish to participate.
I hear you clearly, George.
Okay. I have a point of information, actually. I have a point of information. I have a point of information first.
A Texas duel.
I'll take Alberto's first.
No.
It's not your choice. It's mine.
I am a woman. I do have a choice.
The Texas statute that you quoted. The California statute that you quoted. Is that actually something that has the effect of law, or is that something which is a recommendation for a good process?
Yeah, the California Attorney General. Yeah. It's on the Attorney General. Yes, it does. I sent it out quite a bit last year also, and then I sent it again this year. I think Leslie also sent it. Yeah, that's from the California Attorney General. And I like your question.
That it's from the Attorney General's office doesn't mean it has the effect of law.
Yes.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, the Attorney General could put out something which says, we think this is good process.
It is an act of 2004, the Integrity Act.
It's the law in California.
Thank you. That incorporates the California Corporate Code. I'm confused as to what you're saying.
I'm asking that question.
Alberto? I am next on this point of information. I would like...
given that Nia's got the thing in there on her little machine or wherever she's got it, to, and that was my question about the point of information, that she mentioned a concern that she has over that particular part of the California law, and I would like for her to tell us, to repeat that little piece that she was using to inform us about that, and let us hear it again one more time for it to sink in, and so that we can move forward to make our decision on how to vote on this matter, please.
And since Sean wants to hear it again, I'll say it.
It was
I'm referring to your comment. It's number 3. Shall confer with the auditor to satisfy the committee members that the financial affairs of the charitable organization are in order.
Please, Mr. Chair, may I?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I have a question, and my point of information was to be given enough information from that particular little...
The whole California Integrity Act?
No, that piece that you're reading, but you only read one sentence, and that doesn't satisfy my curiosity, please.
Want me to read it? Okay, read the whole thing.
Maybe the paragraph.
Maybe the what? It's according to the California Not-for-Profit Integrity Act of 2004.
That one.
Okay. I just sent out the link to the Attorney General's site one more time.
Is it in the book?
It's in the book under the audit report.
I took a part of it, yeah.
On the back of the book? Number 5. Second page. Paragraph 2.
There's no page. There's no page on it. Okay. All right. Let me read for Alberto. This is what I read. According to California's Not-for-Profit Integrity Act, this is not the entire act, obviously, because it was too big. There are 5 duties of the audit committee. 1, shall recommend to the board of directors the retention and termination of the independent auditor, may negotiate the compensation, and my eyes are getting very blurry now. Yes, please. Now I'm getting blurry.
Let's see. All right. Picking up where Nia left off, 2, may negotiate the compensation of the auditor on behalf of the board. 3, shall confer with the auditor to satisfy the committee members that the to satisfy the committee members that the financial affairs of the charitable organization are in order. 4, shall review and determine whether to accept the audit. And 5, shall approve a performance of any non-audit services to be provided by the auditing firm. Again, the citation is here, Government Code, paragraph 12586E2, California's Nonprofit Integrity Act of 2004.
Point of information?
Yes, Alex.
Okay. Do you know if this California code that you're citing was considering the existence of a finance committee in a nonprofit setting?
Yes.
Or was it simply talking about a nonprofit setting that had an audit committee and no finance committee?
Well, yes,
Ricardo.
The audit committee, of course, is a critical committee for any nonprofit, and the California Nonprofit Corporation Act spells out specifically what the state is going to require of nonprofits as far as having their finances audited and those audits followed up on. And that's the purpose of the audit committee as set out by the statute. So, yeah, we're tied into those, 4 or 5 duties that are set out?
Does that mean they're working on changes or just not?
Well, it meets exactly what was read out.
I'm sorry, we had a point of information from Alex was the last thing I remember. Is that handled already?
Well, I'm not. I don't know if I have a good answer there because nobody. I don't know what the context of this corporate code is. Whether it could, what kind of nonprofit corporations it's talking about in this.
All particular. Nonprofits have an audit committee. I mean, I don't.
Well, there are. I'm sure there are some.
Okay, I think we're not going to resolve this question here.
$50,000.
And Summer, you are next. Yes.
Point of information.
What's the point of information?
The point of information is this, that the California code, I think, is...
That's not a point of information.
It's a question. Sarbanes-Oxley, I believe, and I'd like our attorney to clarify this, is over top of the California code, and I don't think we have any attorneys on this board. So I would like to hear it from our general counsel as to... the superiority of Sarbanes-Oxley, and within the context of that is the California Code, which doesn't have to reiterate everything that's in Sarbanes-Oxley.
I'm sorry, but I really do have a point of order when you're ready to take it.
Okay.
I'm not so sure that Sarbanes-Oxley applies to us.
However, the California Nonprofit Corporation Act clearly applies to us.
Okay. Fine. So I think that's the point of order. Point of order. What was the point of order? Tracy, what was the point of order?
Okay. Number one, the California Nonprofit Integrity Act of 2004 applies to this organization, period. Number two.
Tracy, this isn't a point of order.
This is a point of order because this whole conversation is frankly out of order. What it says is shall confer with the auditor to satisfy the committee members, the financial affairs of the charitable organization is in order. That clause refers to the audit committee's communications with the auditor, which have already happened through the length of the audit week. The committee has been satisfied the financial affairs of the charitable organization are not in order, and it is now an internal decision how we are going to implement the actions that we are going to take to get into order. In other words, this clause, while it is the law of the land, is not directly applicable to the conversation we're now having,
okay,
which is a decision about how we're going to organize ourselves.
That is a point about order, but not a point of order.
All right, I'll accept that.
Summer.
Okay, hi. Yeah, well, actually, Tracy covered a good amount there of what I was going to point out. I mean, I worked for 3 years in nonprofit auditing, and this is the law of the land. The California Nonprofit Integrity Act is directed at organizations such as ourselves. I do agree, though, that what this says is to confer. Our job is to get information and see that things are happening, not necessarily to tinker with the day-to-day implementation of that. That is what we hire staff for. Secondarily, though, I believe on our last phone meeting that we passed a substitute motion that said this was being reported every 3 weeks. I'm a little confused.
We've changed that already. It's only to be reported quarterly.
I mean quarterly. That's what I meant, every 3 months. But I'm saying, why are we entertaining another motion about reporting quarterly? I thought we resolved that issue.
We're not. What's on the floor is Alex's amendment to Nia's motion, and Alex is a substitute.
I'm sorry.
No, but what is the difference between it and what we actually passed at the last meeting, which was to report quarterly to the entire PNB? I'm confused as to what the difference is.
Please. The motion came from the audit committee, and it was amended. What's in front of you and was brought back from the table is that motion as amended. The issue of reporting is already handled.
Thank you. Okay.
Then Alex made a motion to substitute motion, and what's on the floor is the substitute motion.
But she didn't read it as amended. She read it as it was before we amended it.
She read it that way, but that which is...
Okay, I'm just confused. That's all. I'm not...
But that's because it's the way it was in the book. We didn't
okay.
put it in the way
Thank
it was amended.
You. The other thing I just wanted to point out from a practical perspective is the Finance Committee is scheduled to meet twice a month for the rest of the year. And we have Laverne and Arlene on those calls, and I'm not negating audit committees, you know, monitoring of the audit, which is appropriate. But like at the very last meeting, they were reporting that they were taking steps to take action on the audit recommendations. It does seem to me that we will have a certain amount of frequent reporting, because we certainly, that's what we're doing on all these meetings is, you know, where are we in reality compared to where we are in just reports. So I'm not substituting anything. I'm simply saying we are going to get certain amount of regular reporting, I believe, on this. And if we have, in addition to that, quarterly reporting to the whole board in writing, I would think that would be sufficient. And it would meet what the auditor is intending, which isn't for the board members to bring us into compliance. It's for staff to bring us into compliance and for us to make sure that that's actually happening, that we exercise that due diligence. So that's it. Thank
What's
you.
What's the point of information? What's the point of information?
The point of information is simply, what is the finance committee doing in this discussion? I don't.
Okay,
that is not in the motion.
We can't tell you, Leslie.
That isn't a point of information.
I'm asking how the finance committee relates to this motion and how this is on topic.
Okay. Whether it's on topic or not.
Joe, this is the last speaker. The stack is over. Joe.
Yeah, it seems that both motions are trying to achieve the same goal, perhaps with not even entirely different paths. So I actually support both the original motion and the amendment. I don't see them necessarily at odds. And the reason why I in the audit committee, I mean, I did agree that the reporting, framework was, I think, a little too onerous, even while I appreciate that we want to make sure, as the auditor recommended, that we stay on top of that. And people on the committee have acknowledged it and been flexible on that. But I do want to highlight the point that Campbell made about Sarbanes-Oxley regulations. It's true that they generally apply to for-profit corporations, but there's been recent expansion of the scope of Sarbanes-Oxley to apply to nonprofits. And just from a best practices standpoint, there's a lot of about the Sarbanes-Oxley regulations that we should be practicing. So that is something that we should look at very closely. And I think that, because as I understand it, Sarbanes-Oxley does highlight the importance of the role of audit committees in nonprofits to carry as an oversight mechanism. So I think there's probably more I think the juncture where we are procedurally doesn't allow people who support both motions to support them, because if you support one, then the other one dies. But at least it doesn't die. It doesn't get voted on this time, but we can revisit it down the road is all I'm saying. And especially with respect to, I think we do need to take a closer look to what, we are obliged to do under Sarbanes-Oxley and get a good handle on that.
Okay, we're out of time. I would like to take a vote on this. Yes?
I haven't seen the text of the motion, and I'm confused because I thought it only addressed the second half of this audit committee report. Is it? Does it?
Would you read it again, please?
Can you read it all out again?
My motion?
Yes.
Okay. The Pacifica National Board welcomes and accepts the response of Pacifica Management to the auditor's recommendations coming out of the 2009 audit. Pacifica National Board calls on the Executive Director and the Chief Financial Officer to provide written quarterly reports to the PNB at their in-person meetings informing the PNB of progress made in implementing the measures outlined in their response. That's it.
Okay, that's what's on the floor. All those in favor of the amendment, please put your hand up. If anyone wants to request a roll call vote, we'll do it.
I believe Nia requested it already, George.
She didn't. You have to request it when we're about to make the vote. Would you go ahead and call the roll?
Okay, we're going to vote on this, folks. Let's move along. Sharon Agmir.
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes.
Andrea Turner. Joe Wenzala.
Yes.
Sean O'Brien.
Yes.
Leslie Radford.
No.
Summer Reese.
Yes.
Rico Ross. Bill Crozier.
No.
Alberto Larrera. George Wright, oh, you can't do it again.
Let me clarify that. I can vote.
Oh, okay.
Usually, the chair doesn't choose to vote unless it actually makes a difference. But I can vote at any time.
Okay.
And I choose not to vote at this time.
But I'm not going to call your name again. Richard Uzel. Richard Uzel, yes. Nia Bediako.
No.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Jennifer Jaeger. Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Alonzo Brown. Campbell Johnson.
No.
Kimberly Orendov.
No.
Marcel Reed.
No.
Jim Bennett. Afia Wangaza.
Yes.
Ten, four, six against, and one abstain.
Okay, the motion before us is now the substitute motion. So what we just voted on was to substitute the motion for the previous motion. Is there any objection to the? Well, I'm sure there will be. You're out of time. Would you call the vote on the substitute motion?
Okay.
On the motion as substituted, yes.
All right, so substitute motion as the main motion. Sean O'Brien.
Yes.
Leslie Radford.
No.
Summer Reese.
Yes.
Rico Ross. Bill Crozier.
No.
Alberto Larrera.
I abstain.
Richard Uzel, yes. Nia Bediako.
No.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Jennifer Jaeger.
Yes.
Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Alonzo Brown. Campbell Johnson.
No.
Kimberly Orendov.
No.
Marcel Reed.
No.
Jim Bennett. Afia Wangaza.
Yes.
Sharam Akhmir.
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes.
Andrea Turner. Joe Wanzala.
Yes.
Looks very similar. 10-6-1.
Okay. The substitute motion passes. executive director and the CFO are asked to provide quarterly reports in addition to whatever else they're doing on the progress of the audit reforms.